Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. Mirtz Hashem will finish today the sixth parak. Okay, we're starting from the top of the daf. The Mishnah. Hanoder mina tamarim. If someone makes a neder from tamarim, from dates, mutter b'dvash tamarim. Nonetheless, they're mutter to eat dvash tamarim, because we say that dvash tamarim is a separate category. It's its own category of things, separate and apart from the dates from which that the honey comes. So therefore, when you say that you're asur in the dates, you can still eat the honey that comes from them. Misitvanios, if you say that you're asur in sitvanios, mutter b'chomet sitvanios, then you're mutter in the vinegar that comes from sitvanios. What are sitvanios? So, I'm not 100% certain, it seems a little bit different, but basically these are grapes that would stay on the vine. They would keep them on the vine into the winter because they're not, they don't get ready. In other words, they're not fully cooked. They're neshenu mispashlin. The Ran says that they're not fully cooked. And that they're not cooked, meaning they're not completed in the regular harvest season. So they keep them until the winter. I can't tell if they go through the winter or they just harvest them at the beginning of the winter. But the point is that they don't take them together with the other grapes because they're not really fully ready to be wine grapes. And so therefore, what they would use them for was to make vinegar. So in any event, the Mishnah is telling us that if someone says that they're not going to have hana from sitvanios, nonetheless, they're mutter to have chomet sitvanios, to have the vinegar that comes from these sitvanios. And as will become evident in what we're going to talk about, the sitvanios themselves weren't really eaten. These were unripe grapes that never fully matured, and therefore it's not something that you would eat directly. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, no, kol shashem toldoso kruya olav v'noder hemenu aser b'yotze hemenu. He says, anything that it's tolda, it's what comes out of it, kruya olav, is called by the same name, v'noder hemenu, and you're noder yourself from the primary thing, aser b'yotze hemenu, you're aser in what comes from it. So how would that apply here? So what he's saying is, if something, take tamarim, if tamarim, which are dates, is something that what comes out of it is still called date, meaning, for example, dvash tamarim, the honey of tamarim, the honey of date. So since the word date is part of how you refer to the honey, so then the honey is included, and therefore, if you make a neder from tamarim, it would include dvash tamarim, unlike the Tanakama, who said that tamarim is one thing, dvash tamarim is another. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is saying that if it says tamarim, it includes dvash tamarim, because dvash tamarim still holds on to the name there. V'chachamim matirim. And the chachamim are matir. And on its face, it would seem that if they're saying that both of these are mutter, that dvash tamarim and chomet sitvanias are mutter, then it would seem to be saying the same thing as the Tanakama, and that's what our Gemara is going to deal with, is the question, what's the difference between the Tanakama, the first opinion, and the Chachamim, since they both appear to be mattering something. But before we do that, we're just going to take a look. The Ran says the following. If you remember the Gemara that we learned a long time ago, all of yesterday, we talked about kum, and kum was the kum we talked about was what we call whey. And if you remember that we were going back and forth in the Gemara, and they were trying to figure out the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi. And if you remember, we had a question on Rav Yossi, actually from a kasha from a Mishnah we're going to have later today, where it asked, Min adashim asher bashishim Rav Yossi mater, and the question was, why is Rav Yossi mater if it seems that something that is derivative is aser? And we answered that this wasn't really a fundamental machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi at the bottom of Nun Aleph, but rather what was going on is mar ki asrei u mar ki asrei, that each one in his place. And they said that the reason Rav Yossi was mater by kum was because they called it kumah dechalva, And so therefore, the way we're understanding that Mishnah is whether you learn like the Tanakhama, whether you learn like Rav Yossi, since if the Minag HaMakom, if the place where they were, called it by that name, so when it called it Kuma Dechalva, and it attached to the word Kum, the word Chalav, it attached the idea of Chalav, so then they're saying both the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi would agree in that case that if someone is Nodir Min HaChalav, that they're Aser in the Kum. So, well, if we saw yesterday the idea that if a name is still attached, then everyone agrees that it is Aser. So the question is, what happens here in our case? According to the Tanakhama, and at the moment what appears to be the Chachamim, the question is, it doesn't match either Rabbi Yossi or the Rabbanan that we learned about yesterday, because it seemed everyone agreed that if the name Kuma Dechalva has Chalav in it, that when you say Chalav, it includes Kuma Dechalva. And the Ran brings two terutzim. One he says in the name of the Rashba, and one he says presumably in his own name. So the first one is he says the loydami, they're not similar. The ilu gabe kum dechalav, in the case of kum dechalav, hakum lo nishtana mitzura letzura, that the kum itself doesn't change its form. The meikara nami kishahaya mu'uruv bechalav ba'osa tzura atzma haya. Avahacha hare nishtana hagof. So he says the distinction between Kuma Dechalva, why everyone says that that's included in Chalav, but that wouldn't be true in our case where you have, for example, Dvash Tamarim, is because Kuma Dechalva, if you remember, was the liquid in the milk. So when you have a cup of milk, in that cup of milk is Kum. It's liquid. It's there when it's a cup of milk. If you make cheese, it's still there as liquid. So therefore, he's saying the Kuma Dechalva, it's still the exact same thing. And therefore, if you apply to it the name Kuma Dechalva, and you call it by the name Chalav, and it hasn't changed at all in its form, so then it's going to be Aser. Whereas Devash Tamarim, or Chometz Sitvanios, doesn't work like that because it's something different. In other words, if you've taken a date and you've turned it into honey, that's a different surah, and therefore, the Kuma Dechalva, that concept that everyone agreed in the Mishnah and Aleph and Beis, we would not agree, would not be relevant here. That's the Teretz he brings from the Rashba. The second Teretz he says is the following. He says, Kum, there's only one type of Kum. Kum is whey, and that's it. So if it calls it Kuma Dechalva, it's because it is trying to link Kum to Chalav. Calling it Kuma Dechalva is giving it the status that it is part of milk. Therefore, when you make a neder that you're not going to be nana from milk, it includes Kum, because in choosing the term Kuma Dechalva, it chose to associate these terms, even though it was not necessary. Kum has a defined meaning. You didn't need the word chava. And from the fact that they added it, therefore it's connected. As distinct from the Mishnah that we're talking about here, according to the Tanakhama, who says it's mutter, we're talking about Dvash Tamarim or Chometz Sitvanios. The fact that it references back to a tamar, to a date, or to Sitvanios, to these grapes, is not because they're trying to connect them and say that when you make a nether from one, it includes the other, but rather because you need it in order to identify what you're talking about, because there are multiple forms of devash. You can have devash that comes from bees, for example, and so that is different, and so therefore when it says devash tamarim, it's simply to identify it. It wasn't meant to necessarily associate them, and the same with chometz sitvanias, because you could have chometz yayin, you could have wine vinegar, you could have apple cider vinegar, you could have lots of kinds of vinegar, so they wanted to identify this as Chometz Sitvanias. So that's the Ran's own teretz, is that the distinction is that in the case of Kuma Dechalva, the only reason to say Dechalva is to associate it with Chalav, and therefore if you make a nether from Chalav, you'd be Aser in Kum also, but it's not automatic, as you see from the Tanakhama here, it's not automatic that in the case of Dvash Tamarim or Chometz Sitvanias, that it would necessarily be associated for those purposes. So that's the Ran. Okay, so the Gemara asks, as I alluded to earlier, Chachamim, Hainu Tanakama. The Chachamim and the Tanakama seem to be saying the same thing, because the Tanakama said that if you're Nodim in a Tamarim, you're allowed to have Dvash Tamarim. If you're Nodim from Sitvanis, you're allowed to have Chometz Sitvanios. And then at the end, it says, V'chachamim Matirim, the Chachamim Matir. So if in both cases, they both say that it's Mutter, what's the distinction? So the Gemara says, Chaman, the comment seems the same. Ikka benayu, there's a difference. Hadad the Sanya, this that we learned. Klalze Am Rav Shimon ben Elazar. This Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, Kol shedarko lecho. Anything that it is the way, it is its way to eat that itself. V'derech hayotzi mimenu lechol, and that which comes out of it also gets eaten. What would be an example of that? Kegon, tamarim, udvash tamarim. That tamarim, dates, and date, honey. So what is he saying? He's saying that since, so you have a case here where both the primary item, the tamar, the date, is eaten, and also what comes out of it, the dvash tamarim, is also edible, is also eaten. So where you have a case where both the source and what comes out of it are edible, then in that case, nadar bo, if you make a nether in the core item, meaning in this case in the tamar, aser biyotze mimenu, then you're also aser in that which comes out of it. So far, this opinion seems to be matching to, this would match to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, actually, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is the one that said that if you make an if you say you're aser in the tamar, then you're also aser in dvash tamarim. But in any event, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar continues and says, noder meyotzi mimenu, noder meyotzi mimenu aser bo. And similarly, since these are interchangeable, that if you would, for example, say that you're aser in dvash tamarim, you would also be aser in tamarim themselves. So that's the halacha in the first case where they're both edible, that it's a two-way street. If you aser one, you aser the other, and vice versa. Kol she'ein darko lecho, v'derech hayotzi mimena lecho. What about if you have a case where the core item itself is not edible or is not eaten, but that which comes out of it is eaten? And what would be an example of that? An example of that would be chometz sitvanias, because we said before that the sitvanias are these grapes that never fully ripened, and therefore no one eats the grapes, but you do use them for vinegar. So this is a case where the core source item is not eaten, but what comes out of it is eaten. So in that case, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, noder bo, if you make a nether in these sitvanios, ein aser elo b'yotzi mimenu, you're not aser only, you are only aser in that which comes out of it, shalon eskaven ze elo b'yotzi mimenu, because that's clearly your intent. So this is actually a big chiddush according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar is telling us that when you make a nether from sitvanios, you actually can eat sitvanios. That's not a problem, because no one eats sitvanios, and so then you didn't have that in mind when you said sitvanios. So if for some reason you wanted to eat these grapes, you could. Why? Because when someone makes a nether from something that's not edible, but that's out, what comes out of it is edible, clearly he had in mind what comes out of it. So therefore, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, if you made a nether from sitvanios, you would be able to eat sitvanios, you would not be able to eat chometz sitvanios. Presumably, if you made a nether on chometz sitvanios, then you were being very clear, and again, it wouldn't go back, which is in the first case where they're both edible, it went both ways. So that is the view of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So there's difference in girsah, so we're going to go with the Ran's girsah, and the Ran basically explains that what you have going on here is the following, that the chachamim matirim, when it says chachamim matirim, it means that the Chachamim are equal to the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So let's walk through exactly how this plays out, and the Ran actually does it in great detail. So he says as follows, that the Tanakhama argues with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in both cases here. Why? Because the Tanakhama would say as follows, that if you say your Aser in Tamarim, then you're aser only in tamarim, but not in dvash tamarim. So that's different than Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that if you say you're aser in one, you're aser in the other, if they're both edible. In the case of dvash, since both dvash and dvash tamarim are edible, that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, both would be aser. But you see, the Tanakhama says that when you say dvash, you're not aser in dvash tamarim. So they argue on that case. Then the Tanakhama also argues on Rav Shimon ben Elazar by sitvanias, because according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, if you say you're aser in sitvanias, you're aser in sitvanias, but you're not aser in chometz sitvanias. According to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, if you say sitvanias, you're not even aser in sitvanias, you're only aser in chometz sitvanias. So the Tanakhama disagrees with Rav Shimon ben Elazar in its entirety, in both cases. As I mentioned before, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is divided. On one, it's not that he holds like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, but it's that in one instance their halachas come out the same, which is that, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said that if you say that you're aser in tamarim, then you're aser both in tamarim and dvash tamarim. That is similar to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because Rav Shimon ben Elazar said when they're both edible, they're interchangeable, and you're asr in one, you're asr in the other. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agree in that instance, but the second case, they would not agree, because according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Sitvanius works just like Tamarim, and if you say you're asr in Sitvanius, you're asr in both Sitvanius and Chometz Sitvanius. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is of the opinion that if you say you're asr in Sitvanius, you're not really asr in Sitvanius, you're only asr in Chometz Sitvanius, right? So that is, so the Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in both, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira agrees with him in the case of, or they have those, they align with each other in the case of Tamarim, but they do not align in the case of Sitvanios. So says the Ran, that when it says V'chachamim Matirim, it has to be coming to talk about a case where that both of them are Matir something, that both of them say something is asr, and the Chachamim come along and say it's mutter. And so where is it that both the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say asr and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says mutter would be in the case where someone says that they're noder from Sitvanius, because according to the Tanakhama, if you're noder from Sitvanius, you're asr in Sitvanius but not chometz Sitvanius, but you're asr in kor Sitvanius. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, if you're noder from Sitvanius, you're asr in both Sitvanius and Chometz Sitvanius. So according to both of them, you're asr in Sitvanius. Now, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, if you make a nether from Sitvanius, then you're not asr in Sitvanius, you're only asr in Chometz Sitvanius. So in this case, where both the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda ben Beseira asr something, then that's where, when it says Chachamim Matirim, it's coming to be matter that, and so when Chachamim Matirim is the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And the Ran asks, but wait, there's one other case where both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say something is asr, so maybe when it says Chachamim Matirim, it's going on that. What is that case? That both, according to the Tanakhama, if you say that you're asr in Devash, if you say you're asr in Tamarim, then you're asr in Tamarim itself, as well as Devash, but not in Devash Tamarim, according to Tanakhama. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, if you say Tamarim, you're asr in Tamarim and Devash Tamarim, but according to both of them, you're asr in the Tamar itself, the actual date. So maybe when it says Chacham Matirim, they were coming to say that's Mutter. So the Ran says there's no Svara in the world for that. So therefore, that's not possible. What's in the case of Sitvanius, there's a Svara to say that the reason even though both of them say you're Asr and Sitvanius when you're another from Sitvanius, he has this Cheshman that since no one eats Sitvanius, that's not really what you had in mind. You had in mind something else. But there's no basis on which you could say that if you said Tamar, that you really meant something else, and you should actually be mutter and tamar. So that's how the Ran explains, that's how we know that this is the case when it says chacham and matirin, that it's talking about Sitvanius, or someone says a nether from Sitvanius. According to the Tanakhama of Yehuda ben Beseira, that would be usher. According to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it would be mutter. So therefore, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is the case of chacham and matirin, and that's the case where we see a distinction between the Tanakhama and the chachamim, and they're not really saying the same thing. So that's the Gemara's answer. Okay. Next Mishnah. Hanoder minayayin, if someone makes a neder that they're not going to be nana from wine, mutter biyayin tapuchim. They're able they're mutter to have apple wine. So you can make wine from things other, you can ferment things and create alcohol other than from grapes. But when someone says yayin, they mean regular yayin, and therefore, even when they say that they're usher in yayin, it does not include other forms of wine, like, for example, apple wine. Mina shemen. What happens if he says that he's usher in oil without specifying the type of oil? So you might think all oils are usher. The answer is no. Mutter b'shemen shumshinin. What is he usher from? He's usher from shemen zayis, from olive oil, because that's the type of oil in the time of the Mishnah that they used. And we're going to see that in the Gemara in a minute. But Shemen Shumshinim, which is not what people generally used, you would not be Usher in that, even though you use the generic term Shemen, it doesn't. And this is again, B'nedarim Halach Acher Lashem B'nei Adam. So even though Shemen includes Shemen Shumshinim, but when people say Shemen, that's not what they mean. When they say Shemen, they mean Shemen Zayas. If they wanted to say Shemen Shumshinin, they would use the term Shemen Shumshinin, just like they would use the word Yayin Tapuchin. Okay, Minad Dvash. Let's say someone says, I am making a nether from Dvash. Mutter B'Dvash Tamarim. They're allowed to have Dvash Tamarim. Why? Because when someone says davash, when someone says honey, much as we do, when we say honey, we're talking about bee honey. The way people use the word honey is that if they wanted to refer to date honey, they would say date honey. Some of the Mefarshim point out that we know in the Torah that when we talk about the Shivas Minim and we refer to Tamar, that it's talking about honey and it's talking about Dvash Tamarim. So they're saying that there's a distinction between the way the Torah uses it, and this is in fact a concept we had at the beginning of the parak. We said that we don't follow the psukim in determining what an item means, and we follow the lashon b'nei adam. Interestingly, this is just an interesting thing that the Mishnah Malach brings in Hilchos Machalos Asuras. He talks about the fact that in his understanding that when it says, even though he used the word tamar, that when the Shivas Haminim is talking about the seven minim, it's a reference to possibly a reference to bees honey, and it would turn out that the Shivas Haminim, which we're used to as seven fruits, would actually be six fruits and bees honey. But he has cheshbon why that might be the case. I think he says tzarchian and needs a little further examination, but that's interesting. In any event, continues the Mishnah. Min haChometz, if someone says that they're aser in chometz, even though they use the generic term chometz, mutter b'chometz sitvanias, they're allowed to have chometz sitvanias. Why? Because when someone refers to chometz generically, they generally mean wine vinegar. That's how it was in those days. You talk about vinegar, you mean wine vinegar. If you wanted to talk specifically about chometz sitvanias, you would say chometz sitvanias. Min haKrishin, if someone says that they are aser in having hanah from leeks, mutter b'kaflotos. That their mutter and kaflotos seem to be a different type of leek. This is a leek that had some kind of head on it. So we see leeks grow straight, more or less. This had a head on the leek. But if someone wanted to talk about kaflotos, even though it is a form of leek, they would say kaflotos. So therefore, when you say leek, you only mean the traditional leek, what we call kreshen. Min hayarek, if someone says that they're asur to have anav from vegetables, mutter b'yirakas hasada, they're mutter in wild vegetables that just grow, not in a cultivated field, but just grew over time somewhere. You're allowed to have wild vegetables, but it would not be included in the term min hayarek. And the Mishnah continues and says, shehu shem levoy, because it's an accompanying name. And if you take a look at the Rush says, akula koi. It's going on all of these cases. It's not just on Yarek. He's saying that all of these cases, the reason the halacha is this way is because there's an accompanying name. That if you were referring, for example, to chometz sitvanias, you would say chometz sitvanias. You wouldn't just say chometz. If you're referring to shemen, if you were referring to shemen shumshinin, you would say shemen shumshinin. You wouldn't say shemen. So since there's an accompanying name, you're only usher from those things that don't have an accompanying name. But if it has an accompanying name, you would not need to exclude it in order for it to be excluded from the nether. Okay, so the Braisa goes to Gemara. The Braisa expands upon this a little bit. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Noder min hashemen, someone who's Noder min hashemen, and again, this is just proving the point that b'nedarim halachach lashem b'nei adam b'eretz Yisrael mutter. Mutter b'shem and shumshin in Eretz Yisrael, you'd be mutter in sesame oil. V'aser b'shem and zayas, and you would be aser in shem and zayas. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, when people said shemen, the type of shemen they used was shem and zayas, and that's what they meant. Ubabava, what about bavel, where the metzias was different? And in fact, most people used sesame oil as their primary oil. So then, if someone says that they're aser in shemen, they're aser b'shem and shumshinin, then they're not allowed to have shemen shumshinin, umutter b'shem and zayas, but they're allowed to have shemen zayas, because, again, b'nedarim halach achar lashon b'nei adam, and therefore, we go by what people mean in their given locale. Makom shemestapkin mizeh u'mizeh, what about a place where they use both of them? So then we say, aser b'zeh u'b'zeh, that then you can't have either shemen shumshinin or shemen zayas, because since when people say shemen, you could mean either one, so therefore they're both aser. So the Gemara asks, pshita, of course, if it's a place where people call both shemen shumshinin and shemen zayas shemen, then when he says shemen, it means both. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha, we needed the ruba minchad mestapkin, that most people use just one. So let's say most people use shemen zayis, and some people use shemen shumshinin. Mahu detema, I might have thought, azo baser ruba, you go baser the rope. And since most people, when they say oil, really mean olive oil, and they don't mean sesame oil, so we'll say that we go after the rove, and therefore in that place, if someone says they're usher in shemen, it means only shemen zayis, but not shemen shumshinin. Talk to Gemara, kamash malan. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, that safek isura lechumra, that a safek in iser, we know safek daraisa lechumra, and since it is unknown exactly what people meant, and there are people who eat shemen shumshinin and not just shemen zayis, so therefore, we go l'chumra. Okay. Hanoder min ha-yerek. So now, okay, so that clarified that it was specifically this halacha that we say shemen includes shemen zayis, but not shemen shumshin, and is locale specific. Now we're going to talk about something that's time specific. That the time that you say something has effect on what you mean by it. Hanoder min ha-yerek. Someone who says that they're not going to have anah from vegetables. So we said in the Mishnah a flat rule that their mutter, their usher to have regular field vegetables, but their mutter to have wild vegetables, because when people say yerek, they mean cultivated vegetables, not wild vegetables. But now the Bryce is going to tell us, not so simple, depends when you say it. So bishar shnei shavua, if you do it during any year other than the Shemitah year, then aser b'yerakos. I'm sorry, aser b'yerakos hagina umutter b'yerakos hasada. So a regular year, if you say, I'm not going to have hana from vegetables, you can't have hana from your vegetable patch, because that's what you mean. But you're allowed to have wild vegetables, because that's not what people mean when they say yerak. But ubashvias, in shvias, so what happens in Shemitah? In Shemitah, people don't eat, they don't cultivate the fields. So where do you get your vegetables from? You got your vegetables from the wild fields, because that doesn't belong to anyone, and you're allowed to take that. It's not your field. So therefore, b'shvias, when someone says that another hana from yerek, from vegetables, what are the vegetables that they eat during that time of year? Is wild vegetables. So therefore, aser b'yerakos hasada, if he said that during the Shemitah year, he'll be aser in the yerakos hasada, umutter b'yerakos hagina, and he'll be allowed to eat the yerakos hagina. Now, what is the yerakos hagina? Because we're talking about Shemitah year. So the Ran explains that Yerakos Hagina would be something that came up. It's something that just came up in the field. Not something that you planted. That you would be usher to have. Okay. Now the Ran brings something from the Ramban that's interesting. It would be mutter to have it. Mutter to have it in the gina. I'm sorry. You're right. And usher to have it from the wild, because during Shemitah year, our primary source of vegetables, and what people mean when they say vegetables, is the wild. So the Ran brings from the Ramban, three lines from the bottom, and he says, he's explaining this thing about yerakos. So he says the yerakos. The question of whether something is included, there's a distinction between wild vegetables and cultivated vegetables. But he says, the fact that you have, he brings, avochamra, avochamra mevashla, chad mina ninu, umpneshan espashla lo hifsid shmo. So what the Ramban is dealing with is the question as follows. Since we're saying that everything goes after the term you apply to it, and what that means, that if you say, for example, that you're noder from Yerek, you don't mean wild Yerakos. So he says, maybe by wine also, if you cook wine, so you put wine in and you say it's cooked wine, so maybe the fact that you say, that you refer to it as cooked wine, and you say that's a shem levi, and therefore if someone makes a neder that I'm not going to have wine, it only includes regular wine but not cooked wine. So the Ramban says, not so fast, because in the case of wine, if you cook it, or if you cook regular wine and cooked wine are the exact same thing. You just did something different to cooked wine because you cooked it. You didn't change cooked wine. It's not a separate category of wine. As distinct from our other cases, for example, ordinarily, let's say chometz means chometz yayin. If you're saying chometz sitvanius, that's a different item you're talking about. That's not chometz yayin. So therefore, the Ramban says that if all you did is attached a name because you performed an operation on this food, like you cooked it or you roasted it. In other words, roasted meat is included in meat because it's still meat before and it's meat after. It's just that you did something to it. As distinct from if there are different categories of meat, then that could be different. Okay, Amar Rav Avo Mishum Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. Rav Avo says the name of Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. Amud Beis, Lo Shanu El B'makom She'en Mevi'en Yerek Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz. So he says that this halacha that we learned is only in a place where they don't bring in vegetables from chutz la'aretz. But if it's a place where they bring in vegetables from chutz la'aretz, then in fact you would be aser. What is this going on? This is going on the fact. This is going on the fact that during Shemitah year, when you say that you're not going to have hana from vegetables, we said you're only usher in wild vegetables. Why? Because that's what you eat. You don't eat cultivated vegetables. But the question is as follows. If you bring in fruits, if this is a kind of place where you bring in fruits from chutz la'aretz, the halachas of Shemitah only apply to fruits from Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply to fruits if you would import fruits from South America. There's no Indian of Shemitah on them. Now, the fruits that come from South America, are they wild fruits or they're cultivated fruits? They're cultivated fruits. So therefore, during the Shemitah year, in a place that they bring in fruits from out of the country, so there are plenty of cultivated fruits around, and people eat cultivated fruits, and they eat wild fruits. So what he's saying is that therefore, what was the reason that when you said Yerek during a Shemitah year that it only meant wild fruits is because that's all you're eating from, primarily. That's where you eat from. You eat from wild fruits because that's what everyone is served. But if you're importing fruits, people are regularly eating both wild fruits and imported fruits. And therefore, according to this opinion, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, that in such a place, if you say, another mina yerek, someone says, I'm not going to have enough from yerek, from vegetables, it includes both wild and cultivated, because that is what people mean, because that is what they're eating during this year. So what do you see? You see that that the first opinion that we brought the Brisa that was saying that there's a difference between Shvius or a regular year says as a categorical rule that during Shvius, if you say Yerek, it means that you're usher in wild vegetables but not cultivated. And Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says, no, that's only true that you're only usher in wild vegetables but not in cultivated vegetables if you're not importing cultivated vegetables. So the Gemara says, Kitanoi. So the difference between this Brisa and Rav Chanina ben Gamliel is actually a machlokas tanayim, and we're going to see that Rav Chanina ben Gamliel goes lishitaso in this. So it says kitanai ein mevi'in yerek min achutz la'aretz la'aretz, that the Tanakama of this brisa says that we do not import fruits from outside Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says mevi'in yerek min achutz la'aretz la'aretz, that we do bring fruits from chutz la'aretz to the Aretz, we do import fruits. So the machlokes, the reason we had a machlokes between the Brisa and Rav Chanina ben Gamliel in the first case is not because they actually fundamentally argue about the halacha. Everyone agrees that b'nedarim halach achar lashem b'nei adam, and therefore if we're dealing with a time when people are eating both cultivated fruits and wild fruit, cultivated vegetables and wild vegetables, and when they say vegetables, it means both. If we're dealing with a time when they're only eating from wild vegetables, when they say yerek, it means wild vegetables. So why did one distinguish between when there's a time, if it's a place that you import vegetables or not? Because one of them held that there's no case where you have imported vegetables. Why? Because he holds it's usher to import vegetables. So if it's usher to import vegetables, obviously no one's eating the cultivated vegetables. They're only eating the wild vegetables. According to Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, who says that you are allowed to import vegetables, you could have a scenario where people during Shemitah year are eating both wild vegetables and cultivated vegetables. And therefore, he says that it depends whether you're in a place that does that. If it is a place where they import, then when you say Yerek Stam, it includes both types. So what is the source of this machlokas about whether or not you bring in vegetables from outside Eretz Yisrael? My time in the Manda Amar Eim Mevi'in. What's the reason, the Gemara asks, of the person who says that you don't bring in these vegetables? Amar Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya says, Mishum Gush. Because of Gush. What's Gush? A Gush is like the clods of earth that are still attached to the vegetable. Sometimes you rip up a vegetable and it has some dirt still on it. You got a potato and there's some dirt on the spuds, whatever it is. So he's saying, because we're concerned that we might bring in dirt from Chutz La'aretz. That's why we don't allow anyone to import vegetables. This would presumably be true during Shemitah or non-Shemitah. Why are we worried about dirt? Because the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Gush Da'aretz Amim Tamei, that the dirt from Chutz La'aretz is Tamei. Why is it Tamei? Because the Rabbanim were concerned that people aren't careful about where they bury dead people, and you could end up scooping up some dirt, and that dirt might have bones or something that transmits toma. And if you're going to bring it to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to cause problems because we're going to end up being metame things. Then we try to keep them tahar. In Eretz Yisrael, presumably people are much, much more careful with knowing where people are buried because they're worried about toma and tahara. But in Chutz La'aretz, they're not worried about it, and so therefore the concern was that if we allow you to bring in vegetables, it's going to bring in dirt. If you bring in dirt, you could increase tumah, unknown tumah in Eretz Yisrael, meaning tumah that people wouldn't realize is tumah. And therefore, according to this Manda Amar, they said you don't import vegetables. And Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says that he's not worried about that, and you can bring in imported vegetables. And that's why he distinguishes with whether it's a case that has both cultivated and wild or only wild vegetables. Okay, says the Mishnah, min akruv, if someone says he's usher in cabbage, usher b'ispargus, he's not allowed to have ispargus. Min ispargus, if he says that he's usher in ispargus, mutter b'kruv, he's allowed to have cabbage. Now, while this may sound similar to something we call asparagus, and one could say that asparagus is perhaps within that family, the Mefarshim generally are not understanding it that way. They're understanding it to mean some type of cabbage. The Miri understands that it's a cabbage that was that the juices that it was cooked in is what is asparagus. The Gon, the Gra, Hagos Hagra says here he brings from Rav Haigon that is min krush shornos b'yayin. It's a type of asparagus, was a type of cabbage that they used to soak in wine. Uvelashin yavani yayin shaboker, morning wine, whatever that is, I guess. But in any event, you see that since asparagus was a subset of kruv, if you say kruv generally, then you're usher with asparagus. If you say asparagus, then you're not usher with kruv, because kruv is broader than just asparagus. Mina grisin, if you say that you're not going to have grisin, what are grisin? Grisin, I think we define as grits. Grits in America generally is corn-based, but I think it could mean really any type of grain or wheat you can make grits out of. So he says, if you say grisin, that you're usher in grits, usher b'makpe, then you're not allowed, you can't have makpeh is like a grain soup or like a porridge or something like that. And the Ran explains that the reason you're usher in makpeh, he says tav shel av shel grisin, that it's a thick cooked soup. V'asur mishum dekarle makpeh de grisin. He says the reason is because it's called makpeh de grisin. The way we refer to soup generally is makpeh de grisin, and therefore it is usher when you just say grisin, you're usher in makpeh also. Rabbi Yossi mater, Rabbi Yossi's mater, and the Ran explains, because in Rabbi Yossi's place, they called makpeh makpeh, and they called grisin grisin. So therefore, they didn't call it makpeh de grisin, and therefore, if you say that you're usher in grisin, that doesn't necessarily include makpeh, because makpeh is thick soup that includes things more than just grits. Mina makpeh, let's say you say, though, that you're ushering all, that you're ushering makpeh, the soup, mutter be grisin, that you're mutter in grisin. Mina makpeh, let's say you say that you're not going to have makpeh, you're not going to have soup, aser b'shum, you're not allowed to have garlic. Why? Because the way that they used to prepare garlic is they would take the garlic and make it into a little bit of a paste. So therefore, it was similar to the soup. So the way they would eat garlic, evidently in those days, they would crush it up and like spread it. It was like a paste. And therefore, it is included in this category of makpeh. Some Rishonim understand, I think the Rush it was, who says that since they use shum always in makpeh, that shum and makpeh were very much associated. But the first one is easier to understand within the way we've explained it. Rabbi Yossi Mater Menashum. Rabbi Yossi Mater. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, that it's not, it doesn't work like that. And if you say mina makba, you're not asr in shum, because you could have circumstances where you have shum that is separate from being in makba or separate from being prepared in that format. Mina shum, if you say, everyone agrees though that if you say mina shum that you're asr in garlic mutter b'makba, you're allowed to have soup because there's other uses of garlic. Min adashim, this we encountered the other day. Min adashim, aser bashishim, that if you say that you're aser in lentils, that you're not allowed to have lentils, then you're aser in ashishim. We talked about ashishim, where either the lentils that were fried in honey, they were the lentils that were ground up and baked into lentil bread. But in any event, ashishim still bear their identity as adashim. Rabbi Yossi Mater is it because he says They're not the same, and that was the brisa that we used to ask on the Mishnah and Aleph on Beis, which is how we determined that thing we talked about before the kuma de chalva. In any event, mina ashishim. But if someone says he's aser in ashishim, and let's say these lentils fried in honey mutter badashim, he can have lentils generally because this was a subset of lentils. Chita chitin shani toem. If someone says chita and chitin that I taste, so chita is singular, chitin is plural, aser behen bein kemach bein hapas, and they're aser whether flour or bread. Now, when it says flour, it doesn't necessarily mean flour. It also includes eating stalks of wheat. Why? Because chita in the singular is going to refer to bread. Why? Because all of the you take the grain together and you make a single item. That could refer to bread. So in the singular form, chita includes bread. Chitin, plural of stalks of wheat, you would only be something that you eat, you have a few of them. So that's similar to flour. So therefore, we say, ben kamach ben apas. Same halacha with gris, grease. And if you say grit or grits, shani tom that I eat, aser behen, you're aser in them, ben chayim, ben mevushalin, whether they're raw or they're cooked. So if it's cooked, then it's singular because it becomes a one big dish, and that's what it means when it says gris means a dish of grits, and grisin plural means chayin, means that you're eating the grits by themselves, raw, not cooked. Rabbi Yehuda says, and the way the Rush learns this is just a clarification of the Mishnah, and it's saying the same thing, that conversely, so that halacha, your aser in both, because you said grisin and you said chita chitin. But he says, what happens if you only say one of them? Konim gris, you say gris, o chita or chita. In both cases, singular, shani tam that I eat, mutter lachos chaim. You can eat individual stalks of wheat, or you can eat individual grits, because when it says in singular, it's really only coming to exclude a loaf of bread or a dish of grisim that are all become one and therefore referred to in the singular. And this Bryce is going to basically say the same thing. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, chita shani toim, if you say chita in the singular, aser lafos, you can't have bread, because bread is the singular outcome of wheat, umutter lachos chitim, but you can have chitim because that's plural, and when you said chita in the singular, you weren't including eating grain. Umutter lachos, you can eat it raw. Chitim shani toim, if he says chitim plural, then aser lachos, then you're not allowed to chew raw wheat because that's what you refer to, stalks of wheat, when you refer to it in plural. Umutter lachos chita. But you can have a loaf of bread because you aser the plural and the loaf of bread is the singular. Chitin shani toim. If he says the chitin plural that I'm eating, aser bein lachos bein. Umutter lafos. Chita chitin. If he says both singular and plural shani toim, aser bein lachos bein lafos, then you include both a loaf of bread because that's the singular and the stalks of wheat because that's the plural. Gris shani toim. That if you say a singular grit aser levashel umutter lachos, you can't cook it because that makes it into one, but you're allowed to chew it raw because that's plural and therefore not excluded by your term gris. Grisin shani tom, if he says plural aser lachos, you can't chew stalks because that's plural umutter levashel, but you're allowed to cook it because that makes it into one and you only asered something that's plural. gris grisin, if you say both grit and grits, shaniton, that I eat, aser bein levashel bein lachos, then you can't have the cooked ones because that's the singular, and bein lachos, you can't have the raw stalks because that's covered by your language of plural. Hadron alach, hanoder minam avushal.